Hi everyone, welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and today I have a really exciting guest on. I'm very happy that she agreed to talk with us for a little bit. Her name is Pamela, and Pamela, welcome to the show.
Hi, well, thank you for inviting me on, Nancy. It's a real pleasure.
You're very welcome. Now, Pamela, usually when I start the show, I let the guests kind of explain who they are so that the listeners can know right away. And then after you get done explaining kind of who Pamela is, then I will start to ask you a few questions, and we can just have a really good chat. How's that?
Oh, that sounds fine, Nancy. I don't really do these things often, but dipping out into the world, it's interesting, Nancy. Who I am, where do we begin? My name is Pamela Lee Richards, formerly the wife of David Icke, and that's one of the reasons why I came on, is to help promote the event that I'm producing in Phoenix on October 17th. But the journey's been long, and as we all have our own life stories, and I feel it's very important for people. There's a great quote that says, if you do not tell your story, you are doing humanity a disservice. Because as I encounter every single day more and more, and as I, pardon me, and as I speak to other people, I'm finding elements within their stories that spark off me, and when I share my story, it sparks off them. And we start to, it's almost like as we spark off one another, we lift higher and higher. We start remembering who we really are. We're not alone. And I feel that's very important. So to get back to, you know, who I am and my story, I basically, to summarize it, Nancy, I was born at Luke Air Force Base in Arizona. My father was a fighter pilot. I grew up in Europe, and my father retired in Phoenix when I was 14. And then I went to all 4 years of high school in Arizona, and then I had an experience that it was the catalyst that actually propelled me on the next leg of my journey. And I wasn't, I had no idea what this was all about. I thought the world was real. And it was the death of my brother. He was 23 and I was 24. So through that horrific experience at that time, my world shattered. And it opened me up to, and pushed me down another road that I never knew existed. You know, these things happen to other people, as they say. And I took 5 years of my life. I almost didn't make it through that. And as 5 years to the month after my brother was murdered, it was very, very difficult. I went, during those 5 years, I was looking for answers, and I went to seminars and the grief seminar at the, you know, and all this stuff, and I read books, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross on death and dying, and I would go, I feel like this, I don't feel like that. One of the greatest comforts that I had during that experience was knowing I wasn't alone. When I could talk to someone who actually experienced the death of a loved one, that is someone, I could talk to them because they knew. They knew the depth of the pain, the feeling, the emotion of what that feels like. So then I was actually on my knees in my apartment in 1989, which was in October of 1989, 5 years to the month later when my brother was murdered, October of 1984. I was on my knees in my apartment praying to God. But I didn't, whatever that is. And I was praying to God because I was suicidal. I wanted to die. My heart was broken, shattered, and I didn't want to live. And it was one of the most painful things. I could not even imagine anyone having to go through. And this is where free will comes in, Nancy. I wonder about free will because I wanted to die. And so what happened within that, and even and to back up, over those 5 years, even though I was suicidal, I was only 100 pounds. I've always been tiny. I was 100 pounds when this happened, and then I got down to 78 pounds within 1 month, and I was dying. I went to doctors, and I would, you know, whatever, and they said, it's emotion, which is whatever, bringing you down and all that stuff, whatever. I don't know. I just got down to 78 pounds very quickly, Nancy. And so through all of that, October of 1989, on my knees in my apartment, I was praying to God to please let my heart stop. Please let my heart stop. And something external to myself came and slapped me up the backside of my head. It's like an energy.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoom. And then at that very instant moment, boom, Pamela came back. And the dark world I lived in for 5 years shut, and I set goals, and I attained every single one of them. People around me, my family, and I led a very secluded life. I'm very private. But people around me were saying, what has happened to you? 1 minute you want to die, and the next you want to live. So something is working with us. We're all important. Every single human being, entity on this existence is important and does matter. Ask and you shall receive, I suppose. We choose, I feel, we each choose the path that we wish to go down. There are 6.5 billion people, closing on 7 billion people on this planet. Are we here to save the world as Nancy or Pamela? I don't think so. How many fires can I put out, Nancy? I'm going, you know, it's kind of like that. I see that, you know, that game in the amusement park where they have those little things popping up and you have that little rubber hammer,
mm-hmm.
and you have to see how many you can hit.
Yeah.
And I just put the hammer down and walk away. That's mm-hmm. the power we have. That game no longer exists in my world because it's gone. So I've learned so much, Nancy, and I find it beautiful, and no one has all the answers. It's simply climbing, symbolically I see it as, it's a never-ending journey at this point. Which rung on the ladder are you at? Which chapter in the book? And we're all at different points on the path. And it's okay. It's okay. Yes?
I was just going to say it really is okay. I think, Pamela, people have a really hard time trying to figure out where they're supposed to be. And not because their insides don't know where they're supposed to be, but our logic mind tends to play games with our true self, and we have to fit, or we want to fit, and we try to make sure that we fit that little mold that everybody is supposed to be in. The problem is that no one should be in a mold, that you, myself, and everybody listening is an individual, and it takes individuals to actually work together to bring in all sources of energy. And I think people are just starting to figure that out and starting to wake up. And it's been a very long process, because a lot of people still, Pamela, I don't think they have totally, you know, awakened yet, and they're just kind of lingering there to see what's going to happen next and then what they're supposed to do. But they really need to start doing things now. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes, I do. And this is what I feel is important. Again, it's about coming out and sharing. I look at the world as my. It's a long story. Where to begin? When I left England in 2007, I had to leave because. If I didn't, my heart was going to stop. I was being hit by thought forms. And I don't know, we don't have time to explain the depth of that. I'm planting seeds and I hope people will understand. Thought forms, think about it. If when you think about something towards someone else, they're going to feel it, whether they're next to you or they're 10 miles away from you. It's very important we watch our thoughts, be mindful of them, and you know, be kind. So I had to leave, and what happened is it was like a big mother lioness cat came and picked me up by the nape of my neck and plopped me in Egypt. That's a whole other story, which is in the book, actually, Nancy, that I'm finishing up the stories of Egypt and the telepathic communication with the dolphins. So the big mother lioness picked me up, plopped me in Egypt, and I do understand this because I've learned, and I hope I can I want to share this with people. What I'm seeing is the experiences that I had there, then coming here where I'm at now in a very quiet, I'm alone, because I choose to be and I like being alone. For people, I would suggest, first off, it does come, what I did, I'll share what I did, and people can, hopefully it will help them. What I saw happening was, I am not a five-sense, three-dimensional type person. I used to be, but what was within me and what is now blossoming is that which I've always known. I am moving in the direction that I know that I'm meant to go in. And the world that we see right now around us, which seems so chaotic and so confusing, I would suggest to people to stay calm, stop thinking that you have to have an answer to all the questions that are being thrown at you by the media, because you do not. Every time you do that, you play their game. Go within and find that peace, find that serenity. Again, it's kind of like the amusement park game that I mentioned earlier. Say the amusement park game is the media and the government and the 5 cents level. They're popping up all the time. And yes, they are doing things behind the scenes and setting the system up for whatever they want to pull the mass of the people in. To devour, whether it's with with the flu shot and all that stuff, the vaccine. People, if the first thing to do is to stay calm, go within, remove fear, free your mind, look at the situation. What I do is I go to my observation deck and I observe everything. I don't watch television. Shut that off, first off, is what I would recommend. Shut the television off. Go within. Go to what I call the nucleic points of information that you need. The nucleic point for me is the devil's in the detail. I do not need to know the detail to know that the nucleus of what I want to know. So, say as an example, I hope this makes sense, Nancy. I'm running all over the place because my mind is flooded. As an example, if I'm standing next to someone and I respect where everyone's at, and we can plant seeds and we can help them if they cross our path, and when we put this out through the internet or those that we can help, that we can touch close to us. If someone's standing next to me and they are asking me about the vaccine, should they take it? I say, no. And they'll go, why? And I'll say, well, if you need the detail, I would suggest go. David has a wonderful newsletter that he just put out about this. And if anyone needs any information about the whys to say no, all they need is right there. So I'll go, it's right there if you need the detail. But for me, I've had enough, Nancy. It's like a wild animal. When a wild animal senses danger, it doesn't need the detail. It just turns and changes direction.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening on a mass scale, and even if you look at dolphins, in nature, if you look at, say, the ocean, you've got sardines, where the dolphins feed off these large masses of sardines, and they come together, and then they herd them in this one circle, and then they dive in and eat them. The sharks come in as well. And then you've got seals, and even though they've got sharks and dolphins and all this, they're all predating upon the sardine. And that's what's happening, I can see, from an energetic level. So the only way that that even exists or is allowed to happen is because of the people constantly looking to each other and asking the questions of, oh my gosh, what are they going to do next? And I said on an interview not long ago, as another example, I like things simple, Nancy, and I hope you can edit this, I don't know. Keep it simple for people. But
it's actually live, Pamela, so I can't edit it, but we'll do okay.
Oh, it's live. Okay, hello, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay, so, thank you, Nancy. There's just so much. Okay, so let's try and give it the nucleic. I'm going to try and go to the nucleus for people. This is what I've done. I don't have all the answers, but it's what I do. I cannot put out all the fires. Everyone's running around screaming panic. I go to the people. Who drives the truck? You know, they talk about they're going to have scarcity of water or they're going to have all of these things that are going on. I say, humanity, there are human beings that are driving the trucks. There are human beings that are actually working in the factories or the corporations or whatever, the police, the military. Those are the people that need to take the uniforms off and come home. They are fueling their own demise. They're fueling their demise. So going into the nuclear, hitting the points as succinctly as I can for what I did, I said, you know, there has to be a better way. There has to be a better way because there's, from my heart and my knowing and the things that I've experienced, Nancy, there's no way that this is going to happen. There's no way. Humanity and human beings, we need food, water, shelter, and maybe resources. And we have those. People are panicking because they have given and allowed themselves to be fed by someone else. They have given their, we as a human race, collectively, have allowed someone else to take care of us. And now we're reaping the consequences of that. So, it's time to turn around. That's all. The force that apparently seems to be growing, because people are keeping their attention upon it. Can you imagine if 350 million people in this country shut their televisions off, put their kids out of school, and the teachers that were teaching went home to their own children or families or whatever, and we just made a stand? Whatever's working and operating behind the scenes, we're going to call them to attention.
Mm-hmm.
I say,
which is true.
Those in the shadows, we are not buying this anymore because, you know, we have eyes to see and ears to hear. You have no more control over me. And we must call them out.
And we should, but what I've learned from people with all the counselings that I do is that most people don't want to take responsibility in order to make the change, and then they'll have somebody to blame it on. So I have said this a couple times, and I'll say it again on now, that the only way that we are going to get out of the mess that we are in is to take your heads out of the sand. Because my saying is, if you leave your heads buried in the sand long enough, you are going to get your butt kicked very hard. And now it's butt-kicking time, so either take your heads out of the sand or expect a lot of bruised derrieres here. And I think a lot of people are kind of on that little teeter-totter going, well, I don't know if I can do it, I don't know if I can do it. And then you have the other side going, well, I think I can, you know, like that little train. If they just tried like that little train in that old-time story that we tell all of our kids, that little train who thought he could, if they just did that slowly or maybe quickly, then the mass, and I do mean the mass population, would start to pick up on it. See, they need to see people out there. They need to see people who are not afraid, because we have been totally, in my opinion, taken for advantage when it comes to the mind job that is being done to people, whether it's television, newspaper, whatever the case may be, media, and people wanting to believe it so they don't have to take responsibility. And we can't do that anymore. It's like time. I agree with you. If people took a stand, Pamela, they took their kids out of school, everybody did what they really needed to do from their heart, this world would actually be a much, much better place. It's just getting people to understand that, because they are all so afraid. They're all living in such fear because of what they're listening to and what they're being told.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yes, and this is why it's I don't have fear at the moment. I mean, I do have fear, of course. We all have fear, but I'm so tired of it, Nancy. I don't want war. I want peace. I want to be able to, you know, the earth is crying. Nature is crying. And it's teaching us, it's talking to us about what collectively we've done to it. So human beings and people, I think what I would suggest in their communities at this moment, I feel that this vaccine is a wonderful three-dimensional and pivotal point to focus on for people to recognize what's before them. There's a great quote that says, in one of the, by Vladimir Megri from the Anastasia book series, and it says, what do you think awaits our civilization? In the long term, a realization of the futility of the technocratic path of development and a movement back to our primal origins. He goes, well, you mean to say that all our scholars are immature beings who are leading us into a dead end? And she says, I mean to say that they are accelerating the process. They are bringing you closer to the realization that you are on the wrong path. So when we get, I like, again, what I come back to, Nancy, is give me what I need to know very quickly. I don't need the detail. I want the nucleic point. And these specific understandings, they have an impact, I think, and feel, especially at this point in time. You tell people one thing. Just give them a quote. Give them something that's very powerful. It's going to resonate within them, and they're going to get it. People aren't going to have to read 20 books or go to 50 seminars to try and figure it all out. I feel that this point in time that we're at, and I don't know, it's all there for people if they need it. It's okay. It's all good. And everyone's, you know, at a different point on the path, and I respect and I love everyone for where they are. I can only, you know, like I've said before, and I said, I am not here to tell anyone what to believe. I am only here to share what I see, just as you are. And that's where we are pieces to a puzzle when we come together. And I, keeping it simple again, nature is crying. We can clearly see that it's being destroyed. Our water is being given to us in bottles when it should come freely from walking outside and putting a cup underneath a stream. And and our food grown in our own gardens. We have given away, we are responsible, and it's now time to make that choice of, you know, the forks in the road, of, you know, what are we going to do? It's very clear, but then again, I don't know what's clear. I don't know what's clear, because...
It's really hard, Pamela, to know for sure what's clear. See, my thing is, I think it would be wonderful if we went back to horse and buggy and started over with the knowledge that we already have within us, you know, whether it's health, developing land, raising kids, working as a family, learning how to love again. I mean, somewhere along the line with all this progress that we have done, we have lost the true heart, you know, of love, the kindness, and the sharing. And it's the greed and the possessive and the corporate takeover as to who's going to win. And I cannot see the other half, the corporate takeover and all that possessive and greed, really winning in the long run. It may appear like it, but I really don't believe it will, because I believe people's hearts are truly going to come back alive, and that would be one of the best things that could happen to people today, actually. And the kids, these new kids that are here and have been coming in, they already know that. They already have that knowledge, and yet they are being, and I know I'm going to upset a lot of people, but I really don't care. They're
That's
being
what we're
drugged.
Here to do. Come on, Nancy.
They are being drugged to stop them from being who they need to be as they are growing up, so they can do the right thing. You know, and I know that you have a foundation or an association that you do with kids, just like I'm trying to do. And I think the kids are really going to pay a very dear price if we don't start to do the things that we really know we're supposed to be doing, because, again, they already have what it takes. It's just allowing them to bring it out and let it be said and let it be done.
Mm. Yes, and you know, it's interesting, because this is the thing that I'm experiencing that absolutely blew me away. This is what we're dealing with. And this taught me something just today about, I had sent, for people who do not know, I forwarded to my circle of influence, my database, David's newsletter, which was all about the vaccine, like I mentioned earlier. Well, this is why it's important, I feel, for people, no matter, first off, I feel it's important to find yourself first. Where you want, what do you believe, and what do you want to do about it, about the world that you live in. First, you must be comfortable with that, because if you do not stand for something, you will fall for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You will get lost.
Yes. They are.
as we all have. I mean, we all have. And that's what we're here for, is those that have, you know, maybe made another step up the ladder on the rung and said, hey, come on, guys, it's okay. You don't need to step on rung 3 and 4. Come on, just hold my hand and come up. So, been there, done that. Okay, it's irrelevant. Come up here. And so this is why I like to just, I am not going to, I cannot spend my time running around. I want to stop the finning of the sharks. I want to stop, you know, what they do, the dolphins in Japan. I want to stop what the pharmaceutical companies are doing. And, you know, again, how many fires can one put out? So, I would suggest to people, stay calm again, go within. And for me, I don't need the detail. Again, you do not have to answer every question. The power we have, I feel, Nancy, is knowing the answer. And the answer is, and we have it exactly, and walk it. And if someone starts yapping at you to the left and to the right, just walk by them. You do not need to answer them. Love them and leave them is what I say. They're like a little piranha, and they don't mean to be as human beings. But they're still caught in that, and if you're not, then what's going to happen is the more of us that start walking it without having to feel as if we have to answer every question, those that are asking the questions are going to go, hey, I'm sorry, but you know what? Symbolically, it's like a someone knowing something, and they're going to go down that path, and then here comes this big flood, and the others are going, and then they start to follow. It's energy. People are going to pick up on your walk, not your talk. So, although that's not definitive either, it's both. It does come both. But, so what shocked me today was I sent the email out, and I sent it to a friend of mine, whose husband was a doctor. And, I was absolutely floored because she, I love her dearly. But it taught me that even someone like this who's very open-minded was shutting out and denying and actually almost, calling it paranoid behavior about with the content. And I'm going, well, I don't think we're paranoid enough maybe, but you see the flip side of that. If you talk to someone who will understand that, you're not paranoid enough, I don't feel. They will understand that. But then I would say, but don't be paranoid. This is Alice in Wonderland. This is the trick. This is the twist in our life, in the world that we live in. You can be, once you become, you know, people come, they're paranoid and they're flipping out and they're chickens with heads cut off and they're running around going, oh my God, because they're following a madman. And what they're telling you is going to happen. And it's unfolding because people have allowed it. Now, okay, humanity, in your communities, gather. Get to know your neighbor. And take this newsletter, pass it out to all your neighborhoods, to the people in the neighborhood. And those that are that choose to see this, gather as many as you can, because if that that bootstrap comes on your neighborhood step, those that didn't want to believe it and those that did will help those who didn't at that moment in time, if there's enough who did versus didn't, if that makes sense. So we to help each other. So we cannot go out and try and save the world in that sense, because some people have absolutely shut the ironclad door and they want to stay in their comfort zone, sit on the couch, and believe what they want to believe. So I feel, in witnessing all of this, seeing all of it, what can I do? First off, I feel that the most powerful thing we can do is to, first off, go within. Go within and change your mind. That's where it begins. Change your own energetic field of energy, of mind, and do not give it away. Take it back and do not give it away. Share it with love and compassion and empathy, but do not give it away in trying to answer someone else's question from the system. Does that make sense?
It doesn't work to try to answer the system. There's one thing that I will say. I used to be a nurse a long time ago, but I had a hard time with the medical profession, even when I was a student in school, so much that I was a rebel, and I would be sent down to the dean's office at least once a week, if not at least once every other week, because I just couldn't go with the way the medical profession was doing to people in the hospital. Now, we're talking about, let's see, I'm 61, so that's when I was like 18 and 19. So we're talking about a long time ago. And I've said and I watched, and one of the things that I said when I was a student is that the doctors are getting kickbacks from the pharmaceutical companies. Well, they almost threw me out of school for that, and I just told them, go ahead, because I just want you to know in your mind how you're going to throw a straight-A student out of class that never opens a book, but yet I get everything right. So that's my opinion, and I'm going to stick with my opinion, and I would walk out of their office. Needless to say, they did not throw me out, and I became a practical nurse. I couldn't do it for very long because of the way that the medical profession was doing things. I just had a really hard time because my idea was you should pay a doctor to keep you well, not pay a doctor when you're sick. Okay? Because if you paid a doctor to keep you well, there would be many, many, many healthy people around. Because they would be telling you the right things to do rather than just the band-aids that they're using. So that was one of my things. And ever since the swine flu or any flu shot has come in as a, quote, shot that you need, I often had asked a few doctors, you know, who didn't like it, but I asked anyway, how do you know what strain of flu this is, and how is it that you already have this flu shot for this strain of flu that you don't know what it is? Well, of course, they didn't want to answer me, because the answer to that is they don't. They just do what they think. And the swine flu shot, from what I understand, because I don't go to doctors, not because, you know, I don't like them. It's just that I'm pretty healthy, so I don't go. But the swine flu shot has got a lot of ingredients in it, from what I understand, that are truly not good for a person's body. But that's not how they're talking about it. You know, people are dying from this swine flu shot. And until enough people die, they're not going to make an announcement on the media about it doesn't work or it's dangerous. So people have to be aware, whether that they're hearing it on the television, not hearing it on television, that swine flu shot can kill. And they're finding out more and more cases that's going on. So, you know, it's up to everybody individually if they want to go ahead and do the swine flu shot, because they're being told that it's good for you. But see, I always have a problem with putting some synthetic stuff into your body when your body is totally made up of natural stuff. And they just don't blend somehow. And that's why there's so many things that go on. But I would, before our time is up, Pamela, because we have a little bit of time left before it's up, I would like you to talk a little bit about your book that you are about to release.
Hi. Thank you, Nancy. We haven't got a title for it at the moment, but it's all about the story, how that came about real quick. It's a lady came to me, and we made contact, and she's a former lawyer in Canada, Marilyn Idle, and all of a sudden, she presented this question, do you want to write a, you know, can, she fell in love with my dolphins, to be honest. She fell in love with the dolphin pictures on my website, and she had it up on her computer, and she said, I would love to do a co-authored book with you, and I eventually said yes, and now we're here. The book is about, her input is all about self-care. And it's about not having to run to the doctor for everything. And she has a wonderful and brilliant way of, and her background is incredible, to presenting and helping other people to take care of themselves at home. And then I've got 8 or 9 of the stories, the telepathic communications and stories with the dolphins that I had in Egypt, and also with an oceanic white-tip shark. I was all alone. And I have this on film. The films will be forthcoming up on my site. I've got hours and hours of footage, and hopefully I'll have them up, 2 of them, shortly. But the book, I don't have a title yet, but that's what it's about. It's very uplifting, it's powerful. We were just going over it earlier today, and I think this world needs a lot more care. A lot more understanding and knowing the power that we all have, and not to worry, because through the experiences, I'll share one thing if you don't mind, Nancy, and I hope this helps people to get a feel. I did not get to this point in my life for nothing, and I feel it's very important to share. And when you share, you help lift people up. Do not ever hide anything, because I think we need to become transparent. I feel this world needs to become transparent, and we must stop hiding from one another. I've been having very profound messages. I call them energy messages, telepathic, whatever. I was sitting here one day at my computer, and all of a sudden, to the right of it just comes boom right in, and it said, build what you see. Now, that was relevant to the week that I was having because I was questioning a lot of things around me and, you know, putting how many fires can you put out and all that stuff. So build what you see. Well, what I see, what I was seeing, is paradise. I see paradise and I see peace and love and harmony. And when I was in Brazil with David back in 2004 and we did the ayahuasca thing, I had a vision which was very profound as well, to give people an idea of a picture, because I'm very visual, very visual. Can you imagine sitting in the middle of the universe and you're on your back and you're looking up and there's a grid, a steel iron grid, and on the other side of that grid was a monster. It was hairy. It was a hairy monster. And it had claws and it was sitting there looking at me. And then all of a sudden, the grid bent like an A-frame to the left of him, and I could hear it just going, you know, this very metal sounding, you know, coming in. And when it opened up, this beautiful white stream flowed down. And what the message was coming to me was, it's on my blog. I've got the picture on my blog, a picture that was came to me that was synchronistic, depicts it quite well. The white stream came down, and what the message said, it was basically pure energy, pure love, whatever. Not trite love, you know. This is powerful love, and it comes down. It was going into the tops of the heads of every man, woman, and child on this planet. There is something going on. Not everyone's going to agree with it. They won't believe it. They won't understand it. I don't know. I've experienced it. And the next thing was I was sitting on my bed. I had a dream about 3 weeks ago, which is all in line with all of this happening. And it was, if you imagine again, standing in the middle of the universe, and above my head, black silver stars, above my head was a wall, like a sheet of paper. It was a wall that was coming down. And from peripherally, left to right, was endless. But it was a very thin wall coming down like a sheet of paper. And it was, I could see it through my mind's eye above me. And it was white, shimmery. But it wasn't even white. I cannot even describe what that was. But what I knew was it was pure energy. And as it came down and it touched the top of my head, it went through my head. By the time it got to my eyes, everything in my body, memory, emotion, thought, gone. Everything. Shut down. Gone. I went into bliss, whatever they might call this place. I went into a void. I went into a place that I was conscious of, but aware of, I should say. And it was, I never wanted to leave it. And then it came, then it lifted, you can almost hear it going, and lifted up, but it didn't. I didn't hear a sound. Then it lifted up, and at that moment, by the time, when it got to the top of my head, it went, boom, all systems back on, memory, remembrance, everything was functioning. And then it came back down again, and everything went off. And at that moment, the message that came to me was, none of this matters. It's going to be all right. So whatever that means, I don't know. But I can only share these profound, what I call quantum leaping experiences for people to understand. I'm planting a seed. I will not tiptoe, Nancy. I'm not a tiptoer. If I get information and it's quantum leaping stuff, I will share it. And, cause people do that to me. And we must do this now. So, what is going on is, is so is not to be worried about. I feel that the individual person has the responsibility to look around them. If there's chaos, do you think you're going to find the answers in the very chaos, in the very sources that are creating the chaos? I go back to this the quote that says, you cannot change the world by the very mentality or thought that created it. And we are part of that. So if we don't change our thoughts, the outside world will not change. We are collectively part of everything. And at the moment, it is shifting. And which path do you want to take? Some people are just not, they're going to choose not to take that. And my heart, I don't know where they're going to go, but I know where I'm going.
I know where I'm going too.
Exactly. I love them, but I cannot, you know, it's like being in a, you know, you're going down a path and people park their tents. And if I, or like in an ocean as an analogy in your ship and you're going, hey, you've just anchored here. I'm sorry, but there's a, look, there's the horizon. We're going, look, it's beautiful. And they go, no, I'm really kind of happy here. And I'll go, you know what? I love you. And I want to help you and everything, but if you choose to sit there, then that's okay, but I must go. I love you, and I know that, again, there is no death. So, you know, pure energy, we're just going to go on, and I will love them and leave them. I must. Because if we all stayed back helping everyone who refuses to keep moving, then we're all going to get physically, I suppose. But I'm choosing to keep going.
I'm with you right next to you, Pamela. Give out your website to the listeners and your blog and how they can get a hold of you.
The website is flywithmeproductions.com. It's fly, flywithmeproductions.com. flywithmeproductions.com. And getting a hold of me, emails on there. The event website is RideTheWaveUSA.com. RideTheWaveUSA.com. And my email is on there as well. Please, I look forward to hearing from people. You know, if I can share one thing, Nancy, one more thing for people to understand. This is what I'm doing here. It's really strange because I'm talking to you, Nancy, my lovely friend, and people will look at other people, whether they're on the radio or on stage or whatever. I have relations with Betty Davis and the entertainment industry and the music industry and all of these high level people who, I mean, we're talking, you know, I mean, you could, you know, I just put Gandhi in front of me. I don't care. I say Gandhi. You know, I don't bow to anything or anyone. I will love you, and you will feel the energy, and I'll have respect. And I might bend, I suppose. Maybe I'll bow. Because that's the third eye. Maybe. That's the third eye. I don't know. I'm learning. I'm learning still. So, okay, third eye. Okay, got it. As long as it's truthful and it's respectful and it's honest. Okay, so all of these things, Nancy, I come out and I'm sitting here and I have no fear anymore of talking to anyone because we all make mistakes. Please don't hold, I will ask the audience, please do not hold me to anything I've ever said because it might change tomorrow.
It's likely to.
Yes, and so we, please people, all of us, no one is any better than anyone else. We're all here to share our stories, and please come up onto the world stage. The world is my family. I just have not met every member of my family, and that's the way I see it. Life is my partner, and peace is my focus. So if I have to use a radio program, or not use a radio program, if I get on to get on with my lovely friend Nancy, beautiful Nancy, on a radio program to talk to people who are still, who are at, you know, they want information, they're still wherever they're at. It's not derogatory, it's not putting you down by any sense of the means of the word. It's just, I can say, hey, you know what, guys, been there, done that. And I still have a lot more. There's other people who can tell me that they've been there, done that, Pamela. So it is not hierarchical. It, like I was saying earlier, Nancy, it's important that we all come together and be transparent, and also to lift people up, give them the courage and the push, and to let them know how important they are. Each and every single human precious mind is powerful, and do not let Fox News tell you any different.
I have another question for you, Pamela. We still have a lot of time. We only have about 4 minutes. So I know that you have gone through a tremendous amount of changes throughout your entire life. And when you met David, it had to be a very big change for your life. So could you just, like in 2 minutes, kind of explain maybe how that was when you met David and what prompted you guys to end up together for a while?
Well, again, it was an outside force. Something happened. I met him in 2 minutes. Okay. I met him. I didn't know who he was, and I was on my own journey. And I went to Jamaica first on a conference with my job at the time, and he was a speaker. That was when my world blew apart. And I thought, oh, my God, the world's not what I thought it was. The five-sense level broke it down. I was running around this conference going, oh, my God, the world's not what I thought it was. And people had known about this for 10 years before. So then I went back into Aruba 3 months later, and that's where David gave me personally the extraterrestrial connection to everything at that time. In between August and November, 3 months, David saw a psychic. And the psych described me to an absolute T. That is the reason why David stopped me walking up the steps in Aruba at the conference on the Friday night when I was where we have the reception. And it's the only reason why he stopped, because normally he wouldn't. He was writing The Biggest Secret at the time and came out of the hotel to make his appearance, show his face and go back up and continue writing. What stopped him was I happened to be walking up very secluded part of the steps, bushes on both sides, and he stopped. If he didn't stop, I wouldn't have stopped. And he told me later, he said, the only reason why I stopped, he said, oh, my God, could this be the one? Because the psychic, Derek Okora, said, and I'll give it very briefly, he said, you're going to meet a lady. You've met her before but not been intimate. He met me in August, 3 months before. You're going to meet a lady, but you've not been intimate. You're going to be asked out on the night of the day. She knows everyone. It's as if you're joined at the hip. She's very slender. She's got light hair. It's not always been hers. This could be the one. This could be the one. I can hear his voice saying this. So, and then what happened was when he did stop me, things happened and we just, there was something, Nancy, that happened between us that was so powerful. Nothing would have stopped us from coming together. And when the next morning I asked David, you know, I put my hand on his arm, I'll never forget this, and I said, would you like to come out to dinner with my friends? And I, the few people that I had brought, about four of them, and of course he said yes. Normally he would say no. And, of course, because we fell in love. And I remember him walking over to me by the pillar because he left the following day, 2 days later. And I remember him coming to me and putting his hands on my face and saying, I love you. So there, we lasted 11 years. And I still love him. I still love him. There's a lot to the story that I have to... there's a lot to the story, And I must keep that within, because all it will do, if I say anything about the privacy of it, it's not necessary for people to know the detail about why we broke up. It's certainly not what they, I guarantee anyone who thinks that the reason why we broke up, it's completely not right. It's completely not right. But yeah, we it was a beautiful story. And funny enough, also 2.5 years before, I leading a very celibate life. I only have 2 men in my life. My husband, my first husband, the father of my daughter, and then David, and maybe a few in between. But my friends called me out to, anyway, they were giving away romance ads, and I thought, okay, because I was celibate and leaving this quiet life, right? And she's saying, Tammy, come out, come out. And I'm going, I don't want to. Okay, I will. And they were giving away romance ads and a ticket to Neil Diamond, which I ended up winning, and I gave them to my parents. And I, what I wrote, Nancy, on this romance ad was, English accent wanted, 5'10 to 6'2, lover of animals, spiritual, not religious, vegetarian. I was very specific, and I looked at my friend, and I said, if I cannot have this, I'm happy to be alone, being with my daughter and what I'm doing. And then, you know, the one thing that caught my eye in August in Jamaica was, at that conference, was this man who comes up to speak, and he had an English accent. See, I'm English, second generation from England. I'm not English, but I'm second generation born in America from England, strong English background and all that, and Norwegian. But so he was up there. I actually walked. Something caught my eye the following day after I heard him running around and up to all the people and saying whatever after I heard all of it. The following day, speakers, you know, I was in another room, speaker was talking, and something, it's like tapping my consciousness. Something was telling me, look back. And I looked back, and there was David standing at the back of the room. And I felt to get up, and I went back. And I stood next to him. I just wanted to thank him. I wanted to thank him. And so I looked up, and I said, I just wanted to thank you, because it was powerful. He broke, shattered, and opened my world to another, you know, the next part of my journey, which I didn't realize at the time. But, and he just looked down, and he goes, you're welcome. And I went back to my chair. And I also bought his book, as everyone else did, and when everyone else was gone, I remember having him sign the book, and I did what most people did. I said, aren't you afraid for your life, based on what I heard? No. And then he signed my books, and The Truth Shall Set You Free, and I Am Me, I Am Free, those two books at the time. As I walked away from the table, I remember looking back at him, and I just went, nah. I wasn't interested in him.
We have to save the rest for another story, so I'll have to finish again, Pamela, because actually my time is up. And I don't want to cut into anybody else's time, but Pamela, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show. It's been a pleasure. And I'm sure that both of our things with David will go very well. So thank you very much, Pamela, for being on the show.
I love you. Thank you, Nancy.
You take care. I'd like to thank you, all the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and take care. Bye now.